When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing. Those who wear fine clothing are in a royal palace. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you. Among those born of women, there have been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good evening, everyone. Today we are celebrating the third Sunday of Advent, also known as Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. We hear this beautiful gospel reading. We hear about how Jesus spoke to the crowds about John. He says, what did you go out to see? Some reed swayed by the wind? In other words, what were you expecting when you went to go see John? Somebody who would go whatever direction the wind was blowing, easily swayed, easily moved. No, John the Baptist wasn't somebody that was just easily swayed or moved. Were you looking for somebody with fine clothing, somebody who was doing it for the money? If he wasn't doing it because he was easily tricked or swayed into going and doing this thing, maybe you were expecting somebody who was trying to attain money for what he was doing out there. No, people who have the money and fine clothing, they're in palaces. Here's John eating locusts and wild honey and wearing very poor clothing indeed. And so Jesus says, I tell you, you came to see a prophet, and a prophet indeed. And so Jesus is reaffirming the credentials of John the Baptist, and that his message about him preparing the way was indeed true. He goes on to compliment John the Baptist, saying that he's the greatest of all the children of men. And somebody might argue, so well, what about the Blessed Mother Mary? Isn't the Blessed Mother Mary greater than John the Baptist? And so indeed she is. But there is no contradiction here. Jesus is setting up the difference between those of the Old Covenant and those of the New Covenant. He goes on to say, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater still, even than John. And so he's comparing the old covenant. The greatest person of the old covenant would be John the Baptist, but the new covenant would be our Blessed Mother Mary. And John the Baptist, we hear that he sends his disciples to go look for Jesus and to ask the question, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And some would say, why would he ask that question? He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the long-awaited herald of that Messiah. And perhaps John did it for the benefit of his disciples, that they would go and see what Jesus was doing, that they would hear what Jesus had to say. And so he asks this question perhaps for the benefit of his disciples. And they're not very disappointed, are they? Because Jesus says, go back and tell him what you hear and see. And so they were blessed to be able to hear and see what Jesus was doing. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and deaf hear, the dead are raised. The poor have the good news proclaimed to them. It goes back to our first reading. And we all those things that we see there are heralds of the coming Messiah. They were well known in the Old Testament, except for a couple, the dead being raised and the lame. That goes back to when Naaman came and wanted to be healed by the king of Israel. And he had leprosy. And the king said, how can I heal leprosy? What am I, a god? You know, am I a god that I can heal this leprosy? And then, you know, he goes to Elijah the prophet and says, let him come here to me that he may know that there is a God in Israel. And so Jesus is doing those things then that only God can do. And so when John says, are you the one, or is that one who is to come, or should we look for another? The one that is to come is Emmanuel, God with us. And so today is the Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice, because we are in that time when Jesus has come to us, and indeed we can rejoice every day of the year because God is with us in every Catholic tabernacle all around the world. There used to be a custom, would bring your attention to it again. There used to be a custom that when Catholic men or women would pass a Catholic church, they would tip their hat or make the sign of the cross because they knew the joy that Jesus is present in every tabernacle, every Catholic church that they pass by. And it's, I think, a good thing to do to remind us whenever we pass a Catholic church to remember that God is present. And that's the source of great joy, knowing that God is with us. Today's Gaudete Sunday is expressed in the color of rose. It's rose for me, not pink. I noticed when I came in, there were three men who were also wearing rose. Thank you to those three guys. You know who you are. I have two sisters younger than I, and I'm used to seeing a lot of pink at home when I was growing up. When I left for seminary, I jokingly told them I'm going to become a priest so that I could wear black the whole time and not have to put up with seeing pink anymore. And then I remember Peter's words to our Lord, or Peter, the Lord's words to Peter, who says, a day will become when you will be forced to do what you don't want to do. Stretch out your hands and people will clothe you. And so my sisters love to poke fun at me on Gaudete and Laetare Sundays when the church asks me to wear the rose color vestments. Joy and sorrow are the most common emotions that we all express each day. If you go to the airport, you can see this for yourselves pretty clearly. At the arrival gates, there is joy when a child sees his grandparents coming to spend Christmas with him. At the departure gates, there is sorrow when parents say goodbye to a son who's going away to college or to war. Yes, joy and sorrow are sentiments that are so common to us. Yet if we reflect upon them, these emotions reveal so much about what is at the center of our hearts. Because these emotions tell us what is most important to us and what we care about. Joy is the possession of that true and authentic good that we long for with all of our heart. Sorrow is the loss of that true and authentic good. What is that supreme and true good that would make us completely happy and joyful? It is in the good things. Is it in the good things that the world offers us? Many people are seeking and hoping for something to fill their needs this Christmas. Children are looking for toys. Adults are looking for gifts, perhaps that express love to each other. This is all good, but these things, apart from God, are only temporary and very fragile indeed. Money can buy you a very nice bed, but not sleep. Money can buy you delicious food, but not an appetite. Money can buy you a book, but not wisdom. Money can buy you very fancy things, but not beauty. Money can buy you a house, but not a home. Medicine, but not health. Money can buy you social friends, but not love. Money can buy you fun, but not true happiness. Money can even buy you a nice crucifix, but not faith. Money can buy you the best place, in the best cemetery in Arizona, but not heaven. The joy that comes from possessing those things are only temporary joys. But what is it that we all really need? What is it that we are really seeking? Who should be that true good that we're all looking for? Christ is the reason for our joy. So we celebrate that especially today on Gaudete Sunday. The answer is in the message of John the Baptist. Are you the one who is to come, or is there another? Jesus is the object of our joy. Jesus is the presence of the true good God among us. If you look deep inside your heart, you will find that God is the only one that your heart is truly longing for. God is the reality that will satisfy completely our thirst for happiness. So rightfully, St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts will be restless until they rest in you." Our Holy Father John Paul II, St. John Paul II, affirmed this very truth by saying to the youth at World Youth Day, he said to them, "It is Jesus that you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else ever satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are so attracted to. It is he who provokes you with that thirst for fullness that will not let you settle for something less. It is he that urges you to shed the masks of a false life. It is he who reads in your hearts the most genuine choices, the choices that others try to stifle. It is Jesus who stirs up in you the desire to do something great with your lives, the will to follow an ideal, the refusal to allow yourselves to be ground down by mediocrity." End quote from John Paul II. Jesus Christ is the object, the reason of our joy. This is why through the liturgy of today, God is inviting us to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Because the Lord is near, because Christ is coming to earth, we celebrate that in Christmas. Advent looks forward to it. It's the only source of our true and lasting joy. Remember, joy is the deep satisfaction that comes from possessing something good. The one beautiful truth that we possess is the special awareness that God is always with us and knows us thoroughly and loves us without limit. Keeping this conviction fresh in our mind and heart helps keep our joy strong, even when life's trials seem to be crucifying us. And the only way to keep this conviction fresh is through prayer. It means that we have to find some time to be alone with God each and every day. There are many things that we can do during the day to help us to pray without ceasing. Using a Bible quote as a screensaver on your computer. Putting a favorite religious image inside your locker or at your workstation or even on your phone. I like to put on my phone a picture of my ordination so whenever I turn it on, I'm reminded. Or to carry a rosary or to wear a crucifix. During Advent, it's especially easy to do this because all decorations and symbols are of Christ, the reason of our joy. Tonight, when we celebrate Holy Communion in just a few short moments, let us rejoice as Jesus has already come among us and offers himself completely to us. Open your hearts to him and be filled with his joy. Amen.